Good afternoon. This is Pamela Elaine, your host for our monthly support call on preparing for divorce. These calls are sponsored monthly by the Mainline Family Law Center, a divorce mediation firm that takes a holistic, integrated approach to assisting clients in navigating divorce in a healthy way. Just a little bit about me. I was married for 18 years and have been divorced for 3.5. I am the mother of 3 teenagers and an 11-year-old. In my search for answers, how to thrive, not just survive, after divorce, I started my own practice of resilience coaching. I am also a resilience speaker and an author of the book, Muddy High Heels, 14 Lessons Learned from My Breakdown, Breakup, and Breakthrough. For those of you who are new to our calls, welcome. And for those of you who have been on the calls before, welcome back. You are tuned into a conversation between myself and my guests to bring you valuable information about a specific topic related to divorce. In order to bring you the most amount of information, we do not take live questions, though we did receive your questions when you registered, and we will try to answer as many as possible during this call. At the end of the call, we will let you know how you can reach out to us for follow-up questions and additional information that you may need. Please remember, if for any reason at all you get bumped off this conference line, just call us back. The title of our call today is Holiday Stress Relief. You are going to learn how to honor the multitude of emotions, and I know there are a multitude of emotions that surface during the holidays. You're going to learn how to manage them and ultimately how to have a memorable season wherever you are on the spectrum of divorce, meaning whether you are contemplating divorce, in it, or through it. For this topic, I chose to interview 3 individuals with diverse backgrounds as it relates to divorce and the holidays. Their real-life experiences, I believe, will help you feel better through the holidays. Now, it is with great honor that I introduce my guest for today. I'm so excited. Orlando Candela blogs about how to overcome the emotional pain from extramarital affairs and divorce. He experienced both sides of infidelity as an unfaithful and betrayed spouse in 2 different marriages. This awoke him to the reality of the serious devastation affairs and poor marriage conflict resolution wreak on society. On his website, infidelityfirstaidkit.com, he offers some never-before-seen angles on how to deal with cheating spouses, the risks of not facing marriage problems head-on, how to choose your next move, and handling life after divorce or affairs. Beth Cohn Kramer is a journalist and co-founder of Divorcely, a 7-step program to help women develop the skills and knowledge for a successful divorce and to reshape their lives after. She is a contributor to Huffington Post Divorce, DivorcedMoms.com, Divorcing Advice, as well as multiple magazines and websites. She lives in Los Angeles with her 2 daughters. Tommy Maloney is a speaker, author, trainer, and parenting coach. Tommy is the author of 25 Tips for Divorced Dads. He is an executive producer and co-host of the podcast Blending the Family, where you can find on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Tommy has spoken at TEDx Ignite Fort Collins, that's the location, and as a keynote speaker at Everything Dad Convention. I like that. A dad to Betsy, Becca, and Connor, and husband to Ann. Tommy's new book is My Dad's Advice at 5:04 a.m. is coming out in 2017. Welcome, Orlando. Welcome, Beth. Welcome, Tommy, to Preparing for Divorce.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Are you guys there?
Yes.
Hello, everybody. Great. I am so excited and honored that the three of you agreed to be on this call to give your perspective on holiday stress relief. I know that the backgrounds are diverse, your experiences are very different from one another, and I think for that reason, we'll be able to offer a rich perspective and great advice to those who are listening now and those who will listen in the future from the recording. So let's get right to some of these questions that came up during the registration and some of the questions that I have for you as well. Before we do that, if you would so kindly please tell us a little bit more about yourself, the work you do, and your personal story around the holidays and stress relief. I'm going to ask if Orlando would begin, and then Beth, if you would share, and then Tommy, if you would bring up the rear.
All right, I guess I'll lead things off here. My blog is something I do, on the side, on my spare time. It's, you know, something that I feel is important, really for me. It's been therapy to go through some pretty devastating experiences. I just want to say up front, if I happen to start choking up at any moment, it still kind of hits me every now and then, of what I went through not too long ago. But I work, so I have a job. It's not, related to anything related to therapy or family therapy, but so the blog has helped me, but I really take up an approach of trying to help the visitors go through some things, because there's a lot of people out there that are going through something similar, and they're kind of alone, they don't really have anybody to talk to, so a lot of people will just jump on the internet and just kind of look for some answers to try to figure out what's going on in their own heads, and sometimes they kind of can relate to what I write. So the holidays for me are there. I mean, this holiday is going to be a little bit better, but the first year it happened after my, I don't know how much you know about my story, but my wife just got up and left. And give me a second. I'm sorry. I got to drink some water here.
That's okay. You can. You want to take a few moments, and we'll swing back around to
no,
you?
No, I'm good. Actually, it's literally just because I'm better. She's supposedly on a vacation, going home, and really what she was doing was she moved out with to live with somebody else, and I found out kind of an odd way. So the first holiday after that was pretty bit lonely, and I work in I live in a touristy town, so you kind of see all the families coming in, they're all happy, so you try to fight not to get jealous, but you can see kind of what it looks like when things work well. Mm-hmm. So just through this year, it'll be a little bit better because I moved in with my best friend, and we do a lot together, and he really helped me survive. So, but my main goal is to hope for the future and isolate what happened, and doesn't have to dictate what happens to me down the road. And so I got a lot of big things that I wanted to do before it happened, so now I can do them. If I can get through this, I can get through anything. And that's kind of how I write, too.
Okay, good. Well, we'll come back around and explore a couple of questions around that. Let me go to Beth. And Beth, tell us a little bit about your story, the work you do, and yourself.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me today. I am a divorced mother of two daughters, as Elaine had mentioned. I had stepped away from my writing career during my marriage, and I had a really contentious marriage. So by the time I had gotten to my divorce, my whole thing was about avoiding conflict. So my divorce didn't work out. The outcome wasn't really what best served me. So I couldn't change that. So afterwards, I decided to dedicate some of my writing to really learning as much as I could about all angles of divorce, excuse me, and to share that with other people. As I was writing for different magazines and websites, I came up, and also through my own transformation, I came up with the seven steps to help women not only get through divorce successfully, but to rebuild their lives after, which is that was the birth of Divorcely. I think for many mothers, especially and fathers, divorce is difficult because when you don't spend the time with your children, you know, they may be with their other spouse, maybe the father or the mother is taking them on a vacation, and that adjustment can be very difficult. So that's something that I'd love to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me. But I think it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge to go through the holidays because, like Tommy had mentioned, you see other people, you know, decorating their tree or whatever your tradition is, lighting the menorah, and you feel like you're not part of that anymore. So mm-hmm. I've come up with some different things to do to help with that.
Good. Well, we're definitely going to want to hear those. How about we roll over to Tommy? Tommy, you're going to bring up the rear for us.
I'm going to bring up the rear. I'm going to be at the end of the parade, and hopefully I'm not scooping up horse stuff. I, too, as best said, I'm honored to be here with you, Pamela, Orlando, and Beth. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version. Almost 8 years ago, on December 23rd, I officially became divorced. How do I know this? Well, it's just a date that sticks with me. And currently, I am married to my wife, Anne, as Pamela said in the introduction. And for me, the holidays have always been not something I look forward to, and partially because my parents were divorced when I was 5. Ironically, my son was also the same age when his mom and I got divorced. So the holidays for me have always been not fun because as a kid of divorce, you get pulled in different directions and different households, and all you want to do is sit there on Christmas morning and play with your toys, but there are times where you have to pack them up or you have to leave them there and then go to another house, your mom or dad's house, and then eventually come back. And it's just crazy, insane. And for me, I was living in this townhome, and I purposely, after my divorce, made sure that I lived near my son so we can be able to spend quality time together. So the last year I was in that townhome was the first year that I had a Christmas tree. Now, if you've ever seen the Christmas tree from Charlie Brown Christmas, that was the Christmas tree I had. But it's a great memory that my son and I have created because not only do we buy this tree together, we decorated it together, and I still have those ornaments now that I'm remarried. And I just want to mention, happily remarried, and when we decorate the tree, we use those ornaments because that's something part of my history with my son. And we have, in our family, there's 3 kids. So Betsy, who's going to be 20, Becca, who's 15. I call those 2 young ladies my bonus daughters because that's what a family is all about. It's not about step because I've never understood the word step. To me, if you watch those horror films, it's always the evil stepdad. So that's one of the things I bring, especially in the holiday times. I want positive. I want us to be a family because I don't want to relive the past of those horrible stress times. And back to you, Pamela.
I appreciate that. Thank you, all 3 of you, for giving us a little bit of background. Those who registered for the call were able to write comments or questions for us to address during this conversation. And several of those who did make comments, the theme was how lonely they feel, how they miss their family and the kids. And even some were feeling a lot of anxiety, even mentioning panic attacks that they're having around the divorce and around the holiday season. Clearly, you all experience the same thing, as you've admitted, some loneliness and feeling missing your family. I know, Orlando, you don't have children, but you certainly express the loneliness with the breakup. I'm wondering either of you, just specifically, how did you manage through those difficulties? Did you have a practice that you started? Did you meditate in the morning first? Did you hang out with your friends? What were the practical steps that you did, and were they intentional? Or in retrospect, when you look back, you're like, yeah, that's what I did, and that made the difference. Tommy, I'm going to ask you to go first because you pulled up the rear. but the other reason is because, Tommy, you mentioned a word that I got stuck on because I thought it was a powerful word. You said you created new memories. So can you just share a little bit more about how did you even think that creating, because that's a very powerful word that's not victim-based. Can you talk a little bit more about creating the new memories and how that came about?
Well, that's a great question, Pamela, mm-hmm. and I hope the others listening on to this call will benefit from our stories. And here's what happened. I was, at the time, working for a company, and I did a lot of traveling. And as I went through my divorce, I am one of those people where I don't bring my so-called baggage to the workplace. And during that time, I shut down. And people recognize that right away, that that's not me. My personality is, as I hope our listeners can feel, I'm somewhat energetic. And what I did was that first Christmas, that first year of divorce, I was a coward. I ran away. And what
what does that mean? Yeah, explain what that means.
What that means was that first Christmas, I could have had my son, but I chose not to because I couldn't face him. I was just too distraught. You know, as a lot of men, we battle our depression. We like to hide it, but we know our significant others, like Orlando was talking about, living with his best friend. I'm sure his best friend recognizes when Orlando's down. And that's having that positive circle of influence helps. And what I did was I really didn't talk to anybody. I shut down, and I went to go visit my mommy in South Carolina, hung out with her and my bonus dad. I'm going to tell you, quite honestly, golf is a great therapy. But as I stated, I ran away because I just did not want to spend, again, as both of Beth and Orlando talked about during the holidays, you see everybody else who is happy, and here you are struggling to put a smile on. I was not prepared to spend that Christmas with my son. And like I said, I ran away, visited my mom, which helped. My mom is one of those people that tells you how it is, and I needed that. But at the same time, I also needed somewhat to get away and kind of figure out who I was going to now become. I'm no longer a husband. I'm no longer in the same household as my son. And I really need to figure out how I stay connected with my son now that I'm not living there. So in retrospect, it really helped me. It really helped me. And today, because of that, I personally feel I have a great relationship with my son and my two bonus daughters as well, because they went through divorce. My son has gone through divorce. So the three kids can very much relate to each other. And it's just been a wonderful experience overall.
Yeah, you've mentioned three things that I'm pulling from what you did, Tommy, that I just want to emphasize for our listeners. You surrounded yourself with a circle of friends, even if that was just your mommy. And I like that you said your mommy. that's pretty cool. You golfed, so you did some kind of physical activity. And then what I thought was really important is that you took care of yourself first. You knew that you would be a wreck if you had spent that Christmas with your son, and that impact would have been quite memorable to your son, that the first Christmas post-divorce, my dad was a wreck. But you had to take care of yourself first so that you could be better for him in the future. And now you're reaping the benefits of that. What I heard that you should not do is cower down. That's what you said you shouldn't do, although there was some benefit to that. And then you shouldn't isolate yourself either. So I just wanted to break that out for the listeners to kind of get that. And with that, I'm going to ask Beth if you would now jump in and share, what did you do and what did you learn from what you did?
Well, the first one of the things that I did for the time set, what I knew that I wasn't going to be with my children on a particular holiday, whether that's Thanksgiving or Christmas. I happen to celebrate Hanukkah, but still, Christmas has sort of like a cultural, you know, everybody's with their families, that kind of thing. What I did was I decided that we could celebrate on a different day. So if we were having Thanksgiving, let's say on Thursday, if they were going to be with my ex-husband and his family, then we would do it on the following day or the night before, so we'd still have that time to celebrate and to create traditions. I think a lot of what I would say has to do with reframing, so that if you are going to be by yourself on Christmas, you maybe go volunteer in a soup kitchen, or, you know, find some friends that aren't going to be together. Maybe host a party or a little dinner or lunch with people that you know are going to be alone, who are in the same boat as you. And they don't have to all know each other. They could be people from different parts of your life. For me, also, exercise is a big thing. So I practice yoga and do different types of exercise. And even if you can't maybe go for a walk with a friend, or go for a walk with your dog, you know, put on an exercise tape, that really creates some endorphins and helps you through that.
Yeah, that's great. And did you do anything for the holidays that you, sort of like Tommy, that you wish that you hadn't done, or in retrospect you would have done differently? So the do's and the don't do this for the holiday.
Well, I think there's a tendency to want to like hole up and watch Hallmark movies, or, you know, have a glass of wine, cocoa under the covers, to just not see people. And I think that's really, you know, I mean, I think we have to face how we feel, and we have to certainly work through our emotions without judging them. I think we tend to judge that. So people are saying to us, well, shouldn't you be at happy hour? You're single now. And I think that we need to be in touch with our emotions. We need to work through them. But we also need to kind of step away from feeling that things were happening to us, and that makes you feel much stronger and more empowered. I also think that when, you know, I've had times when I force myself to socialize when I didn't feel like it, which, you know, has ups, has positives and negatives to it. But I think it's really important that you curate the people that you spend time with. You know, you may have a friend or family member who's going to judge you or criticize you, or, you know, give you suggestions that you didn't ask for, ask too many questions, and that's not going to help you as you move through this process. If you're feeling insecure, maybe you're not really, now you're feeling a little guilty that you're getting divorced. Maybe you're thinking you could have done things differently, or maybe you were the one who decided to get divorced. So I think that brings us back into that sort of negative energy, and it's really hard to work, especially through the holidays, when you're surrounded by people like that.
Yeah. How about you, Orlando? Thank you, Beth. How about you, Orlando? Well, wait, just before we go, just before you speak, Orlando, Beth, I just want to summarize this really quickly, like I did with Tommy. So you created, again, that very powerful word, new traditions, by celebrating, for example, on a different day. And I like the idea of reframing the holiday. Whatever it was before, you can reframe to something new, something different. And volunteering is certainly a way to kind of reshift your energy towards something positive, something useful, and something beneficial. So you did some acts of service there. And then again, the exercise, the physical activity is critical. The yoga, I think that's just a powerful and wonderful way to center yourself. It's a very meditative practice as well. What we want to avoid and move away from is isolating ourselves, judging our emotions. We don't need to judge them. We do need to accept them. And then forcing yourself to be social if you're not really up to it, which is different than isolating yourself. You can still be with people who support you and who love you and encourage you without being, quote-unquote, social if you're not ready for that. Okay, thank you, Beth. Okay, Orlando, how about you?
Well, I really like what Tommy said there about that create, because I totally agree. You know, when and some of the things Beth said too, how you feel like people may judge you, and it's real easy to fall in. It could be easy if you allow it to fall into that victim. You feel like a victim,
mm-hmm.
and you have to, in the sake of survival, I do everything I can to, you know, take control and go after the things that make me happy. For me, I live far away from my family, so it'd be very simple for me to just isolate myself. So, but I get out as much as I can. I don't stay at home. I try to go out, even if it's a Starbucks, to write my blog there rather than just at home. And mm-hmm. so one of the things for me is I have found places all over where I live, whether they're simple things like fancy hotel lobbies or like restaurants or cafes or wine bars. I have taken my friend who I live with to so many dozens of different places. It's become an adventure, even within your own city. Like, even no matter where you live, there's always places you can do or exercises and things you can do. Like Beth was saying about, you can go take a walk, or you can jog. Simple things like, rather than take this one route home from work, I'll take a different route.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than go to the grocery store this way, I'll go a different way. So just changing that scenery up.
Mm-hmm.
So what I call my places sort of like my happy places. So I always seek new places. One of my favorite things to do is I love to go to California. It's just something I fell in love with when I was a kid. And since she left, I've made it my goal to like go like twice a year. And I got family out there. So I go to San Diego, I go to San Francisco, and then I go find happy places there. You know, I remember one of my most popular posts about serial cheating. How to identify some of the different traits. I remember writing it, actually part of it, from the Grand Hyatt lobby in San Diego. So it was just
nice.
That change of scenery, always looking for something new. Just don't stay. I just don't like to stay at home. It's helped that I moved to a place that's a little more thriving and in the middle of the action, but where I was before was just slow and lethargic, and it did not help at all. For me, a lot of it has to do, like, survival has to, or just dealing with your emotions is really facing them, because it's, when I was going through some things in my first marriage, I would just kind of, there were problems in the marriage, and rather than face them, I just kind of hoped they'd go away. Like, I figured, oh, well, we should be on the same page, so we obviously don't want to fight, but maybe things will just kind of work out on their own. And no, it just snowballed and it got worse. So you need to face your emotions, but at the same time, I kind of like what the other guests have said, is that you got to be flexible with yourself. I mean, you got to give yourself a break. I mean, you can't beat yourself up over something that you can't control. You can control so much, but after that, things are going to kind of land where they land. And, during the holidays here, even though my family's far away, and I just, the one thing I can enjoy is the environment. I mean, I'm surrounded by theme parks, and I'm surrounded by constant events going on. So for me, just that, the season itself, not really the particular, December 25th or the 24th, like the whole, from even like the beginning of November, it's already changing into the season here big time. So just getting out and enjoying people and finding the people that give you energy. If you're mingling with people that want to judge you and ask you too many questions, you can't be around that. You got to find the people that really accept you. Sometimes you have to sort of quote unquote temporarily fire people from your life because sometimes it's better saying no. Sometimes it's better than saying yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that. That's pretty interesting the way you put that, Orlando. Fire people. So some of the things, the do's that you're bringing up. One, fire people temporarily or permanently as necessary. But the point of that is so that you can feel, you can take care of yourself and feel better about your circumstances. That is really critical. You're talking about, please do face your emotions. And if you don't know how to do that, it's a great time to pull in someone who can help you face your emotions, whether that's mm-hmm. a professional or a really insightful, emotionally intelligent friend. You're talking about mixing things up, find your happy places. I like that idea. You know, go out, get out, do something different that you haven't done before, and don't be afraid of that. Again, create something new. That word, create, is really important word here in our conversation. Don't, you're saying, play the victim role. It's easy to get into that, woe is me, I'm so sad, this is a terrible thing that has happened and is happening to me. Because the more you stay in that cycle, the more you'll experience that cycle of being the victim. And don't get stuck in your environment, in the current environment where you're in. Again, go find things and places that make you feel good. All of us want to feel good. All of us are seeking to feel better about where we are. And that is just a human trait. That's a human way of behavior. And that is absolutely necessary. So these ideas of the do's, I would expect, and I do believe, that they're going to be very helpful to those who are listening to employ some of these. I want to turn a little bit now and talk about the children. I know, Orlando, you don't have mm-hmm. children, but you're welcome to chime in here. Beth and Tommy, you know, kids really will feel what we feel. They will reflect back to us what's going on within our minds and in our hearts. And we want them to have wonderful memories and a great holiday season. It's tough to have them experience that when we're in a hard place ourselves. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but can you talk more about what do we need to bring to the table as ourselves in order to have our kids experience a happier, more memorable holiday season? Who do we need to be in those times with them for that experience to take place?
Well, I'll jump in here. I spoke before about reframing, and I was actually having a conversation earlier this week about budgeting during the holidays and when you're divorced. And part one of the things that we had talked about was a competition that a parent might feel if one parent has more resources or is taking the children on an exotic vacation. And and I thought about it quite a bit, and I think that part of the way to move from that is to really focus from the viewpoint of your children. So instead of you thinking, well, I wish I was the one taking my children to the Caribbean, or I wish that I could buy my children that bike, think about what your children are getting from the experience, and then kind of separating what you can bring to that. So maybe you can't do that right now, but maybe you can go to a museum for the day or do something that doesn't cost as much money. And in the end, what kids will remember really is the quality time they spent with you. You know, they won't remember that toy necessarily that they wanted this year. So it's really the experience and the time that you spend with your children, plus recognizing that if the other party can offer them more materially, that mm-hmm. and they're getting that. They're getting something that they might not be getting otherwise. So instead of looking at it that it's a competition between you and your ex-spouse or kind of bringing that whole conflict back into your children's lives, to focus on the children, how the children are doing.
Yeah, because you could take the children to the Caribbean and essentially ignore them, right?
Exactly.
You can go and not even engage them. So
and
that,
at least they're getting
quality
a trip.
Is, right. Say what? Say it again?
At least they're getting a trip.
Yeah, right. And, you know, one of the things that I have come to learn is that
even if another parent has more resources than the other, you really cannot buy your children's love. Ultimately, they will come around and understand the distinction between my parent really loves me and my parent just had a lot of money to take me places. They will really understand that as they grow up and grow older. And you want to be on the side where they know you love them because of the time that you invested in listening and paying attention and loving and nurturing and touching and kissing and hugging. Those are the things that will really make for a strong relationship down the road. How about you, Tommy?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Beth.
No, exactly. And it doesn't preclude, I mean, one parent can have more resources and still love them and give them attention.
Yes.
But I think that it's really important just to it's really important to extricate that yourself from that conflict that you had with your partner, your former partner, and not kind of like bring it into your kids' lives. Because I think that's really what hurts kids more than the fact that you're divorced or that you're not together anymore. What hurts them more is the way you move through it and if you drag them into it.
Thank you. That's an important clarification, that you can have both a lot of resources and give them a lot of love and attention and things they need, and you can have very few and still give them the love and attention that they really need. Thank you for that. Okay, what about you, Tommy?
Well, I totally agree with both Beth and Orlando what they said, and especially when Orlando was talking earlier about you can't control other people. I don't know, quite honestly, unless my son, for example, tells me, oh, my gosh, this was a great weekend. And, for example, that happened last Saturday. And one of the things that he was able to do was spend time with his sister. I'm at the point where the girls are my kids as well. So when I say his sister, I mean one of the girls. And what we did was we went to my wife is part of Kiwanis, and they had a special event helping out families for Toys for Tots. And I always feel that if my wife has one of these events, it's a family event. We need to be there to not only just support her, but support the cause. And one of the things that he enjoys doing, he enjoys volunteering, and something that Beth was talking about, you know, reframing it, reverse engineering it. If you're down, go serve others. And my hope and feeling was that here we are putting together gifts for kids and families that just don't have the resources. And I don't really want to egg the kids on and say, see, there's families that are in need. I want them just to organically experience that. I want them to understand it from their level. And with that, it's about, like, I'll admit I'm not one of those dads that has billions and billions of dollars where I can really take those exotic trips. But I think it's more important as parents is that it's the quality. Again, like Beth was saying, it's quality versus quantity.
Yeah.
And for somebody that only has their kids every other weekend, it's even vitally more important that we spend that quality time together. Years ago, I wrote a blog post called "I Cheated and Got Caught." And what? Mm. And it's funny. Trust me, it's funny. Well, in my head, it's funny. What that meant was, I started to get into coaching because my son wanted to play hockey, and so I wanted to spend that extra time with him. And I got into coaching, and the where I got caught part talks about I went from just being an assistant coach to 1 year they made me a head coach, and I'm going, yeah, I'm not qualified for this position. But the point I'm trying to make here is, again, it's the quality time. It's being able to, like, again, like Beth was saying, go to a local museum, go to a park, go just for a walk with your kids and let them talk to you, you know, be the listener. You know, that's what leadership is all about. And as parents, that's where we should emulate leadership and be listeners versus doing all the talking like I'm doing right now.
Okay. Good stuff, though, Tommy. At least you're talking something that sounds good. You know, our time is, I cannot believe this happens every time I do these calls. I get so engaged in the conversation, and I look up, and it's time to start bringing things to a close. And we're going to have to start wrapping it up. But before I ask you each to share how to get in contact with you, I'd like for you to indulge me for a moment and complete the following sentence for me, and I'll ask Orlando if you'll go first. And this is the sentence: holiday stress is normal. You can make it better if. I want you to complete that conversation, kind of tie in and wrap up what we've talked about today. Okay, so Orlando, holiday stress is normal. You can make it better if.
You really want to, and you actively look for ways to proactively look for ways to make yourself happy and make others happy.
Love it. If you want to, that's important. Because if you don't want to, guess what? It'll be stressful. All right, Beth, holiday stress is normal. You can make it better if?
If you reframe how you see your experiences, you reframe the experiences and also how you see them, and also if you surround yourself with supportive friends and family.
Mm, wow, good, Rich. Tommy, holiday stress is normal. You can make it better if?
You have a great bottle of red wine. No, I'm
sorry. I knew I was going to come out at some point. Well, earlier you said it was Scotch. You said you're a,
yes.
No, you said you weren't a Scotch guy, but yeah. All right, great. So you can have, should it be one glass or two?
Yeah, the bottle. Anyway,
okay.
Actually, the way I would answer it is asking for help.
Okay.
Especially, and I'm going to pick on the men here. I'm going to pick on the men real quickly. That is probably the biggest thing ever, is that we men think we can handle all the stress, that we're the macho, brave. No, you're macho and brave if you ask for help. So ask for help, like both Beth and Orlando said, surround yourself with good people. But you want to be in a positive environment. You want to be in an environment where it's not, you know, kind of degrading your former spouse. It should be about how they can serve you, how you can serve them, and just a kind of what, piggyback on Orlando, just go out and have fun. There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's really, really rich, juicy, wonderful completion of the sentence. And I just want to chime in really quickly and say to those who are listening, it may be really difficult right now, and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel for a happier, healthier holiday season with your family. And I just want to encourage you that if you put into practice some of the tips and tools and strategies that the guests Orlando, Beth, and Tommy gave, if you put them into practice, then you'll begin to feel better about your holiday, about your circumstances. And when you feel better, you behave differently. You behave in accordance to what you are feeling or according to what you are feeling. So I really want to push the practice, whether you have to start each morning with gratitude, grateful for what you already have. And if you have to conclude each evening with gratitude, grateful for what you have. And in between that, you take on some of these ideas and concepts that our guests gave. That will really set you up for having a much better experience than you're having right now in your current reality. It does get better, right, Orlando, Tommy, Beth? It does get better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
With that, we only have a few minutes left. I'm going to ask if you would rapid fire, Orlando, Beth, and Tommy, how can people reach you?
Who goes first?
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Okay, take it away, Tommy.
Oh, First of all, once again, Pamela, thank you so much for inviting me. I feel like I walked into a Mensa meeting and I should not have been in there. Orlando, Beth, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful knowledge. And also, I need to say thank you to Sharon for working due diligently to make sure this happens. You can reach me, Tommy Maloney, at Tommy@blendingthefamily.com. Again, that's Tommy@blendingthefamily.com. And also our website, blendingthefamily.com.
Awesome. Thank you. Beth?
Thank you so much for hosting this today, Pamela, and for everybody for appearing, for sharing your great thoughts. And thank you, everybody, for listening. You can reach me at bckramer@divorce.ly. You can also find me on Facebook at divorce.ly. And also, you can also visit our website, which is divorce.ly, to make it easy. And happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you. Orlando?
Great. I really appreciate honored that you'd have me on the call, Pamela, and Tommy, Beth. I really appreciate that. What you both said helped me too. You can reach me at Orlando@infidelityfirstaidkit.com. That's also the name of the site. And I'll get back with you within 24 hours. I look at the email all the time.
Awesome. Thank you, Orlando, Beth, and Tommy. And the contact information for all three of them will be on the website, and it also will be part of the follow-up email that you all will receive, which will include a link to this wonderful conversation. I am honored, and I mean that sincerely, by your presence, your time, your great advice, great suggestions, and really the diverse perspectives that you have all offered here today. Thank you so much. Mainline Family Law can be reached via the website www.myhealthydivorce.com. You want to spend time on their website because it is full of useful information that you may not know exists to help you. I, Pamela Elaine, can be reached via my website, yourresiliencecoach.com. Please join us in January for another insightful conversation to help you achieve a healthy divorce. Our topic will be on getting into financial shape, and we all need to do that once the holidays are over. Be sure to check out the website again, My Healthy Divorce, for upcoming topics for February throughout the rest of the year. Finally, until then, please remember, you can have a healthy divorce. It's how you divorce that matters. Take care, everybody.